All right, Kevin Barker. The Blue Jays 4-1 losers to the Boston Red Sox tonight in the first of this three-game series. They've lost four in a row. They are 73-84 with five games remaining in the 2024 regular season. It is Blue Jays talk. The number is always 416-870-0590, star 590, 888-666-0590. If you want to text us, 590-590 is the text line. Rough start for Chris Bassitt, to say the least. Kevin, a career high, seven walks. That plus the fact that Jays never really got anything going offensively. I mean, it was pretty easy game to pick apart, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Well, Bassitt, you know, I think the lineup construction, you know, that the Red Sox are running out there with the lefty-righty all the way through the nine guys, I think that adds a little different element, right? That means Chris has to add a few more of the cutters early in the game. And, you know, he just didn't have the feel for it. He had eight called strikes and 88 pitches. It's just not good enough. And, like I mentioned, the sinker-cutter command, he needs it to set up all the other pitches. And, you know, you can say the roof's closed and the ball wasn't breaking the way he wanted to for me. That has nothing to do.
I was waiting
that has nothing
for you
to do with
that.
The two fastballs. Yeah, yeah, that has nothing for me to do with, you know, the two fastballs. It's like hitting, right? You feed on, you start destroying fastballs, you get more hanging breaking balls. Chris is no different. Like, Chris needs the two fastballs to, you know, just get everybody in swing mode, to start getting called strikes, to start hitting locations, to sort of get, you know, in the flow of good release point with the spinning and the good feel, the secondary stuff. And for whatever reason, he just didn't have it. It's one of them nights, but I'm with you. I mean, so, you know, there was some good things that happened. You know, you just saw Horowitz with the RBI single and Kirky. I've been saying this for how long, Jeff? For about a month and a half, he looks quicker. I mean, he just does. We saw him beat out a single for his 15-game hitting streak. We saw him pick a guy off. We saw him throw two guys out. It's just getting out of the crouch, just getting rid of the ball. You know, his arm looks a little bit stronger. The ball's carrying a little bit better. It's not tailing the way it normally does. Like, just everything he's doing now looks quicker. And I think we got to give him a little bit of credit. So, you know, there were some bad things, but there were some good things when it sort of starts with Kirky.
Yeah, and listen, you know, the thing about Alejandro Kirk is that we were all wondering how he would respond to an increase in playing time. And not just an increase in playing time, but, you know, the fact that with Danny Jansen being traded, there was more responsibility on his shoulders. I mean, Brian Servin wasn't, you know, was not going to be the type of guy who's going to start three games in a row for you. Tyler Heineman probably isn't either. Alejandro Kirk has had more put on his plate, and you are right. I mean, I think he's become quicker. If anything, he's a you know, he just, to me, it looks like he's a better all-around defensive catcher right now. And I'm kind of with you about Kirky at the plate. You know, if this team is put together properly next year, if this is the Alejandro Kirk, I think Ben Shulman made this point, if this is the Alejandro Kirk I'm going to see defensively, yeah, I'd like to see a little bigger OPS. But, hell, if I can stick him in the 7th, 8th, 9th spot, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I don't think I care who's catching, but, I do think it gets down to they're big leaguers handing the ball. Here it is. Go get your glove. Go back there and play your position. Like, get out of their way. I think this is a prime example of that, right? I mean, he's showing you without showing you, really, that if you just hand him the ball, tell him you're in the lineup this amount of days, this amount of time during the week, you know, maybe you'll see the best of him. So, you know, maybe you can learn a little something just from this, just because of – I think they babied him too much. I know they may have thought they had a better option, Danny Jansen, and the way he's receiving certain pitches, and, you know, he was hitting home runs a little bit better than Kirky has. But now it's an opportunity just to say, here's the ball, and get out of his way and see what he can do. I'm with you. I've been in that camp for about, a month. I don't care who catches. I really don't. I think that's where they're at as an organization, sort of that hard-to-hear stage. It's more about the first five guys in the lineup than it is anybody after that. Kirky, for me, is after that. And, you know, what he's starting to do defensively, he's shown you that, you know, if you write him in a lineup, he's going to give you, you know, a quality at bat. And I don't know why he looks quicker, but he does. Maybe that's because he's in the flow of the season and, you know, you're sort of getting out of his way. And maybe they've learned from that, and moving forward, they'll do that.
Yeah, I think that's – and it's something – look, it's something John Schneider talked about as well a couple of weeks ago about Alejandro Kirk and the increased workload, the increased responsibility, and he was the one that noticed that. He just seems quicker. For whatever reason, you're right. Stuff seems to be happening at a quicker pace around him. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Ryan in Innisfil, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
How are we doing tonight, gentlemen?
We are doing well.
Good, good, good. I don't really have tonight talk. I have more like next year talk type thing I want to ask about.
Okay. Well, it's been next year here since about May 20th, so.
Quite literally, right? So let's back going. How would you boys feel if one of the only bats you picked up this year was Willy Adames, and you put Bobichet at third base and that Willy play shortstop and finally let Spencer Horwitz play second base for maybe a full 162 and leave Laddie at one, and then maybe pick up like a Tyler O'Neill for the outfield type thing instead of going ball to the wall and trying to get a Santander and maybe a Juan Soto, which doesn't feel real to me. Go for a Willy Adames, Depot for the one season, see if he can pick up his performance, and put that extra money hopefully into pitching. How does that sound?
Appreciate the call. I mean, you know, as long as the middle of, I'm not going into opening day with the middle of my lineup being Guerrero, Horwitz, and Kirk, that's the biggest thing for me. Again, Kevin and I talked about this. I think the Jays are showing you what they think about the possibility of Spencer Horwitz at second base. He's not playing at second base anymore. He's, for the most part, he's at first base. We've kind of been on the same page with this. I haven't seen enough of Spencer Horwitz at second base that makes me think he can't play second base, but clearly this organization doesn't think he can. Willy Adames, I mean, I guess moving Bo off at shortstop, I don't know where you're going to move him. I'd frankly be more inclined to have Willy Adames at third base if I'm giving him all that money in a long-term contract. But, I hate to say it to me, Willy Adames and Tyler O'Neill may not be enough. You know, it may not be enough. I think I need more of a bona fide middle-of-the-order bat, Kevin. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, look, I don't know what would tell us that they're willing to spend Willy Adames money. Willy Adames is going to cost tons of money. You think they're willing to do that? That's why I think the Santander thing is going to. Yeah,
I've done it in the past.
For a position player?
Yeah,
Springer. Other than George Springer?
Yeah, they've done it in the past, though. I mean, I don't think you can sit here and on whatever day it is, September 23rd, and say that they're not going to spend money in a position player. They've got some money coming off the books this year. Let's see. And we've also, you've got a year left of Laddie and Bo. So there are a lot of things that are going to complicate the situation this offseason. I guess that's how I'd put it. I'm not certain that anything's really cut and dried right now with these guys, other than the fact that I think rotation is going to be back.
They need to hit more homers. If you can get Willy Adames in here and Tyler O'Neill, Eugenio Suarez, Teoscar Hernandez thing ain't going to happen.
You're not getting four guys.
Santander probably is not going to happen. You got to get more homers in here. That's how you're going to win baseball games. You ain't going to dink and dunk people to the playoffs. I mean, it's very hard to do, especially as hard as these guys throw and as hard as it is to game plan against pitching. And quite frankly, you need dudes too who know how to hit a heater. Like, they got anybody right now that can do that other than Vladdy?
I don't know. I don't know
if you should be playing second every day, and
I don't know if you saw the graphic that they threw up on the broadcast tonight, the telecast. Did you see it? But this weekend,
it's the same thing I told you guys today.
The Rays threw 77% fastballs in those three games. The major league average this weekend was 55%. As I've said, and you know, we talked about this. The other team will tell you what they think of you, and when somebody's throwing you 77% fastballs, they're basically saying you can't hit the fastball.
There it is. I don't really got anything to add to that. I mean, it's 2024. They've never thrown harder. Like, why would you go up and look slider that nobody else can hit? What gives you a better chance of hitting something? Something that's straight? Now, I know good pitchers got a couple of different fastballs, one going one way and one going the other, and the elevated fastball. But I would think you got a better chance early in counts looking for something straight. Then when I get two strikes, I choke up, I do whatever, I hit the other side of the plate to try and put a ball in play with two strikes. I just, That's the one puzzling thing other than their bullpen. I just don't get it. I don't get what their game plans are. They overthink it a lot. Buck was talking about that a lot tonight. It's just that's what it is, right? I mean, it's you got a bunch of younger guys now on your team who should be, you know, fast twitching it up there, who should be able to get the barrel out in front of the plate and give you a competitive at-bat against the fastball. So that, again, something they need to work on. They need to figure out if they're going to be competitive, they're going to have people take them serious. For me, it's starting with the old good number one. Get after that thing, and then you're talking and cooking with gravy.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590-590 is the text line. It is Blue Jays Talk with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. The Blue Jays 4-1 losers to the Boston Red Sox, the first of this three-game series, the first of the final six games of the 2024 season. The Miami Marlins are in town on the weekend. The Jays are now 73-84. Around the major leagues, congratulations to the Philadelphia Phillies. They clinched the NL East title with a 6-2 win over the Chicago Cubs. So the playoff picture is clearing up a little bit. Boston still on the fringes of the wild card race along with Tampa. And of course, as we've mentioned, the Jays at 73-84. They're on the fringes of the fringes of the fringes. Max from East York. Max from East York writes in by text, the entire American League and MLB competition knows how to pitch to the Blue Jays. Four-seam fastballs up. Blue Jays hitters can't hit a fastball. There's a lack of swing preparation.
I don't know what that means. What's swing preparation?
I don't have any idea. I think what Kevin has talked about, I think it is more of a factor. It's just it would be great to sit down with a Blue Jays hitter after every game, every hitter, and say, what were you looking for in that at-bat? What were you looking for in the second at-bat? What were you – just to find out if there's any philosophical consistency or any thought going into it at all. I would love to be able to do that.
Now, I hate to be this guy, but I'm going to. I have talked to people that mean something to that lineup, and I ask, how come you guys don't go up to a man and always look fastball? And the answer I got from a couple of guys that matter in that lineup, they said to me, what if you can't hit the fastball and you have to look for something else? I think we got to remember that too. Not everybody can hit 96 at the top of the zone. Not everybody can hit 97 right down the middle. I mean, I hate to break it to people, they just can't. Like, maybe that's where they're at, right? Maybe it's all the good teams, you look what they do to fastballs. They got guys who know how to hit it.
Well, I was going to say, it seems like every
mechanically and mentally prepared to hit it.
Now, it seems like other teams find those guys.
Well, I mean, I don't. I think they can't be that rare. This late in the season, it's not mechanical. I hate to break it. It ain't. It's just not. Like, you've seen enough fastballs. 97 ain't going to surprise nobody anymore. Like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, it's surprising that it's happened all year other than a couple of guys. And, you know, again, like Ernie Clement, best hitter on the planet. No, he looks fastball. Like, it's simple. It's repeatable. I'm athletic. I look for the one pitch that I think I can do damage on to the entire part of the field. Because I can't make a living off hitting the breaking ball. I'm going to hit it because I'm going to get hangers because I took a fastball and hit it in the left center field gap for a double. That's how you do it. That's educated guessing. That's having a good approach. That's being a big leaguer. I consistently, you know, maybe it's a combination of a bunch of things. So that's, again, it gets back to that 1 through 5 in the order needs to be sprinkled. It needs to be added up a little differently other than, obviously, the guy that plays third. Can I say he plays third now, Jeff?
Why not? Bam. Why not? 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. We'll step away, come back on the other side. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Kirk threw out 3 base runners today, and now he's at 27 on the season. That's a big number for any catcher. What do you think is working well for him as he's throwing out these opponents?
I think he's in a good rhythm. You know, I mean, when you think about what goes into, you know, catching a runner stealing, pitchers have to do their part, which they've done a good job of, and his exchange and getting rid of the ball has been really, really good. and his throws have been really, really accurate. So it's a pretty good recipe. You know, not just the caught stealings, you know, a couple pickoffs, you know, second base, third base, going back to Tampa. He's just been really efficient with his throws and giving guys a chance to make plays.
As John Schneider, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, finding a silver lining to this particular Monday night cloud. Do you like what I? You like that, Parker?
Nice one. How could you see it? The roof was closed.
Yeah. 4-1, the Blue Jays losing to. And that's a good point.
4-1,
the
Blue Jays. Wow. Is it bad that now every time Chris Bassitt has a bad start at home, the first thing I look at whether the roof was closed or not?
No, as a matter of fact, the first thing I did when I got to the ballpark tonight is I ran down and looked up and said, yeah, it's closed. Because I knew.
You had the tough first, second, third in?
Yeah. It's like 4-1, the Jays have lost to the Boston Red Sox. The numbers to call is always 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590. The second game of the series goes tomorrow night at the Rogers Center. It's another game Wednesday. Thursday is an off day. And then the Miami Marlins are in town to put this thing to bed on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Jays are 73-84. Vladdy tonight, 0-for-4. Still 6 hits away from a 200-hit season. Would be the 6th 200-hit season in Blue Jays history. He's obviously not going to challenge Vernon Wells' club record of 215 hits in 2003. Shannon Stewart, 202 hits in 2001. That is the fourth highest number. I guess Vladdy might have an outside shot at that. But Paul Molitor, 211, that would seem to be on the safe side. Those 211 hits coming in 1993. I wanted to ask you something that, because we are looking for blips and pieces and snippets of optimism here. Chris LaRue and Ben Shulman had a conversation during the game about Eric Swanson. Now, the Blue Jays bullpen, Shai Davidi on our show today, kind of opened our eyes. The Blue Jays bullpen going into tonight were the only team in baseball to have a negative war, negative F war, which is -3. That's a 7.5 win swing in F war from 2023. That's not good, to say the least. Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot of work that will need to be done here. Eric Swanson was a guy who was going to be relied on this year. I don't think anybody, we all know what happened in spring training with his son. And I mean, I sort of tend to give a guy a big, anything when something like that happens, I tend to give a guy not a pass, but I certainly find it a little easier to understand a slow start to the season. It does appear as if the quality of stuff is better lately. Do you think he figures in the plans for next year?
Who would you rather have, Burr, Nance, or Swanson? Can't have all three.
I mean, I'd rather have Swanson, to be honest.
Well, I mean, it's if
who,
I get,
put it this way, who do I have more faith in being better next year? Eric Swanson. Now, does that mean I want to see any of them in the seventh inning or eighth inning? No. But or in the eighth or ninth inning, no. But yeah, I would run back Eric Swanson.
Yeah, I think his velocity's gotten better. I think his location's gotten better. I think the slider's a weapon now, which makes the elevated fastball that much better. He's got something to get righties out, take the sting out of the bat. You know, they sort of looking for the thing that's going down. Now you got something that's going, you know, that can tunnel off the fastball or the split finger and go down and away from a righty, which is a pretty decent pitch. You can steal a strike like that. Yeah, I'm with you. It's 6th and 7th guys, not a ninth inning guy. Yeah, look, I mean, they can't tear the whole entire thing down and bring back a whole bullpen. Somebody's got to stay. I just got to ask yourself, right? It's you need swing and miss. Which one can get you more swing and miss? That's what you got to ask yourself. This is what I said. It's tough decision time. It's hard to hear. You learn the hard-to-hear stage. Right now, the hard-to-hear is you got the worst bullpen in baseball. It's not even close. If I can find better, Swanson's not coming back. Like, it's that simple right now. But if you can't and all you can bring is, say, you know, 2 eighth-inning guys and a ninth-inning guy, which I'd be shocked if they get a ninth-inning guy. Ninth-inning guys cost a ton of money. I mean, they're going to try and, you know, force probably Chad Green to come up with a split finger.
How do you keep saying that? How do you force?
Yeah, I mean, go home. I mean, here it is.
Why wouldn't he be throwing?
Walk around with it between
your
fingers.
One by now?
Because it costs. I mean, it's against his stats. Like, it's, you know, you have pride. You don't want to give up runs. I mean, he's obviously don't have confidence in it. They've had conversations with him. I don't want to say they're forcing him to throw it, but they'd like him to throw it, and they're giving him $10 million next year. I mean, what do you think's going to happen, Jeff? Like, right? So that's my point, right? It's, you know, again, it's just sort of how do you bring in enough run producers to hide what you don't bring in the ninth inning? So, yeah, long-winded answer. He's okay in the sixth and seventh inning as long as I don't have three Swansons.
Well, yeah, that is a good point. Well, Chris Bassitt has just finished addressing the media. He was asked about his night and asked if he plans to make another start this season.
Unusual night when you walk, Sergeant Chris. What was impacting your command?
Mechanics.
Is there anything specific in the mechanics you feel like you can clean up between now and next one?
No, I mean, we're not throwing bullpens, so just go out there and just be better. I mean, obviously there's some dry work you can do, but no.
You could come back for 162, and is that your preference to pitch back in?
Yeah, I mean, the bullpen's not going to cover my game. That's not going to happen. So, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's another option. So, yeah.
You've said before that this has been the worst year of your career. The ERA went down a little bit today. But, I mean, is part of wanting to pitch on Sunday not wanting to go out off a start like this?
I don't really care about that. It's just, I mean, there's so many factors into it. I mean, who's going to start Yarbrough? He's going into free agency. That's not fair to him. To have the bullpen cover nine innings, that's not fair to them. So I'm healthy. I'm good. So I'm going to start. I mean, it's just I don't believe in just because it's the last game we're out of it, I shouldn't throw. I think that's kind of, I wouldn't say embarrassing. I don't know. I'm trying to, loss of a word to try to say. But, yeah, just it's not fair to the bullpen to say, hey, he's not going to throw anymore. You guys are going to have to throw. So, yeah, like I said, I'm healthy. I'm good. So, yeah.
Well, that was Chris Bassitt, and he would be in line or is in line to start Sunday. I can't say I disagree with him. I was absolutely not surprised considering who he is and considering the sensibilities he has. But the bit about Yarbrough, being eligible for free, I can see that. Yeah, basically, it's a guy saying, you know, I'm being paid to do this. I'm being paid to make my start, regardless where the team is in the standings or anything, and I'm not going to pass it on to some guy who doesn't have a contract for next year.
Yeah, I mean that's fair too.
That's a pro to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's one of the vocal leaders on that team, right? I mean, he's got to stand up for what he's doing. And you just mentioned it, he gets paid to pitch every 5 days until the season's over. And he's guy pitching the last day of the season. So, yeah, I like everything he said there. It's pretty cool. I mean, he's trying to set the example for the young guys coming up, right? Again, you know, he does a lot of talking. I mean, let's not lie about it. Like, he's talked a lot this year.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, not this year he didn't. Like, let's be honest. Like, yeah,
what I mean by that is, you know, that whole Chris Rose rotation thing aside, where he kind of walked it back. You know, he posts up, man. He posts up.
Yeah, I mean, he takes the ball every 5 days. I mean, he's had a bad year, Jeff. Like, it ain't that been a good year for them. Now, that could be multiple factors, trying too hard, trying to make up for things that weren't taken care of in the offseason, whatever it is. I mean, he just didn't have him. Like, he's not going to make excuses for it. So, I just like it. Like, it sets an example for everybody that's around. I mean, again, if you're going to talk it, you got to walk it. And that's sort of what he's doing. And that's a great teammate, him thinking about a dude who's trying to get paid a little bit, right? Yarbrough's right at the end, I would think, and how much money he could possibly make. And, you know, he is valuable to a good team. He ain't going to a bad team. Like, good teams could use him, you know, to sort of hide things coming out of pens in the way the Blue Jays have used him since he's been a Blue Jay. So, just love everything about that. And, you know, hopefully he ends the season with a better start than this one tonight. Hopefully the roof's open. That's what we're going with. Hopefully,
Sunday. Take a look at the weather Sunday, and then take a look at the forecast. I mean, you know, the only thing I was, I mean, this is kind of a moot point now, but the only thing I keep thinking about when he, referring to Chris Bassett, talking about the roof being closed the other day, was in the postseason, the roof is generally closed because Major League Baseball takes control of the situation.
Maybe that's why he didn't pitch in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, well. But I mean, no, what? Because they were outdoors in Minnesota.
They were here, weren't they?
No, did he they pitch played in Minnesota last year. They played in Minnesota last year.
I mean.
No, but they were outdoors is what I'm saying. Okay. In Minnesota. So it wouldn't have anything to do with that.
They had better options.
Apparently they had better options.
No, 4-1. Hopefully he finishes the season the way he wants to.
Yep. 4-1, the Blue Jays have lost to the Boston Red Sox. The first of three games. 7:07 will be the first pitch tomorrow night. We will be along following the game with Blue Jays Talk tomorrow night and Blair and Barker from 4 to 6 Eastern on Sportsnet 590, the fan of Sportsnet. Yes, Mr. Barker, you're
20 and 30 in the American League East. How's that suit you?
That sounds like last place to me.
Yeah, I mean, they could end up 12 games under 500 in the American League East. That's a big number, Jeff. Like, there's a lot of these things. All you got to do is look at the standings. It's enough to get you upset as an organization to try and go out and fix it and make it better, I would think.
4-1, the Blue Jays losing to the Boston Red Sox. That is it for us from the Rogers Center. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Brantford and Woodstock, Ontario. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection.